Welcome, spacefarers. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is Season 2, Episode 13. Lucky Episode 13. Before you guys say anything, I'll first mention that we are down not one, but two players today. Scott is continued to be eaten by his job, and Rick is well immersed into having moved in the holiday season as we are recording right now. So right now we have John and Jilly.
Hello.
And they are both here. And we have another cast member who will be introduced when dramatically appropriate.
Thanks, Jason, Carl.
So hi, John and Jilly. How you doing?
Oh, you know, full of the holiday spirit. And by holiday spirit, I mean desserts.
Desserts.
Yeah, this is probably going to be like sometime in March or April, I think, maybe. Or who knows? I don't even know anymore. There's going to be pauses here and there when life eats my ability to edit this thing appropriately. But I'm preparing for Christmas with my small family and having a number of financial constraints over the last few months, mostly involving my car. I was very clear that ain't nobody getting anything extravagant, and nor do I want anything extravagant. And I think that's pretty much what's going to happen. But in order to kind of counter that, I've decided that we are having Snacksmas.
Yes.
So I'm just bringing a bunch of snacks, and my dad's going to have snacks there, and we're just going to chew on snacks all day and probably watch bad football.
Well, isn't that what the holiday spirit is all about?
That
is.
Liminal
time and anarchic eating?
Yes. But without further ado, there's a lot going on, and I have a big old recap here so we can jump back into things. You guys right now are hopefully on the tail end of your job taking a box from a place and bringing it to another place.
Which we have managed to do
You have one way or another managed to do that. As you were jumping to the Verata system with a non-functional nav computer on a dark hyperspace lane, you learned that your cargo was a recreated AI consciousness of a centuries dead mining magnet. You also learned that this AI was a little unstable and not thrilled with its current state of existence. During the fracas, Muffin managed to spend his last stress and go into a panic attack, taking him out of the action briefly. Your jump was eventually stopped by an unwelcomed hitchhiker known as a warp gremlin, who was trying to fix, in air quotes, your engines. You quickly dealt with that. Muffin returned to the action with a growing sense of paranoia. You managed a quick jump to Nihil 687, only to find the bounty hunter Noval Keth of the Star Stepper had somehow beat you there. During a brief parley, Mateus Faust, the AI, in some kind of confused state, tried to ram the Star Stepper with the Steadfast. You managed to calm him down and were able to get Captain Keth on board to continue the parley and work out some kind of arrangement. Of course, Faust took this whole situation quite badly, began overclocking the engines in some kind of seeming suicide maneuver. Remy was able to somewhat calm him so that Zemgus and Muffin could shunt him out of the Steadfast systems and back into his cracked encasement. Spending his last stress, Zemgus passed out, leaving Muffin to try and hack the AI into his box. Unfortunately, his action roll was a failure. But now we will return to the Steadfast. Cal, you snap awake. It's like coming out of a tunnel and suddenly emerging into bright daylight. You half expect to see the bright blue Arietta sky, but instead, you're in the cargo hold of a ship. A small man is standing in front of a big metal box. He has a hacking rig plugged into it and various tools scattered about him. As you start to get to your feet, you realize that you are wearing strange red robes and there's some kind of weird bracelet on your wrist. It looks oddly familiar.
Hello there.
So you hear that voice where Zemgus was standing. Well, you turn. That voice seems to come out of Zemgus. Assuming you pull the robe back and kind of, let's once and for all get a full description of this man's face. And welcome MJ, who is the other half of the Zemgus entity.
Good to meet you all again. So this Zemgus, which may or may not look like the other Zemgus, who knows, mid-20s or so, tawny skin with, there's a strange iridescence, particularly if there's light hitting my skin. I have monolids with dark auburn hair, which sort of hangs to the nape of my neck with some shaggy bangs in front. I am fit, as I believe Zemgus is as well, the other Zemgus. And there's a strange glow about my eyes that is very bright sea green.
Yeah, at this point you realize that you rarely seen like Zemgus, you know, out of the robe, but at the same time, those instances where you have, it's similar but not the same. There's definitely something different. A different voice is coming out of them. And as this is going on, I will say, Muffin, you have done your best to shunt Faust out of the system, and you feel like it probably didn't work, but at the same time, for the moment, everything has gone quiet.
Where did it go now? Where did it go now? I don't think it's in the box.
What are you talking about?
A what?
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the AI. Where the hell did it go? I don't think it's in the box.
Where else could it be?
I don't know. It could be in the system again.
Well, then it's in the box. You got it out of the system, and it's in the box.
You're all mad.
I mean it.
Mad. Bunkus.
What?
Zemgus, you're being a little peculiar at the moment. And I'm sure we'll unpack that later after we get Captain Keth off the ship.
And at this point, Noble Keth comes into the cargo hold. Cal, the last time you saw Noble Keth, he was probably a rank ahead of you in the Lancers. He might have even been commanding your squad at some point on whatever job you've done. But now he has a tattoo across his face he did not have before. He has shaggy hair, and he's wearing this kind of like, definitely like bounty hunter kind of armor, as opposed to the normal Lancer gear. And he goes, Kalais Han?
Is that you?
Yeah. What are you doing here, and what happened to the other guy?
Questions I was absolutely about to ask.
I have so many questions right now.
Yeah, me too.
Most of them starting with, what?
So we're all, like, on the same page, right? The mystic?
Yeah, Zemgus.
In the robe is now a guy I knew a few years ago.
Well, no, I wasn't there yet, but now I guess we're here again.
I'm not even reading the same book that y'all are reading. What's going on here?
Are you not Zemgus?
I am not Zemgus. I've never heard of a Zemgus. I don't know a Zemgus.
That's a problem, because you're standing where Zemgus was standing literally moments ago.
And then you have a quick memory flash, Cal. The last thing you can kind of remember is your detachment was providing security to some kind of geological study that was being run by one of the corps, you think. And when you hear the name Zemgus, you just get a flash of this large land digger that was called the Zemgus 4800 Earth Mover. The only reason that flashes in your head is that kind of brings you back to where you might have been before. And there was some kind of commotion about somebody finding something. And the memory just kind of goes out of your head. So whether that means anything or not, or it's just one of those random association things, but anyway.
Yeah, not a clue, really.
The logistics and metaphysicals of body swapping aside, Captain Keth, we meet again, I guess.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you invited me on your ship.
I know, to take a look at them.
To look at the crazy AI, which is Yeah.
And to reiterate that you don't want it because it's notorious.
No, I fully understand that now. I think that maybe I don't think anybody should maybe have this thing. So anyway, yeah, Cal, there's a rogue AI that was it's in that box. Maybe I'm not sure.
It's in the box.
I don't know about that. I'm gonna check. Give me a second.
Run the numbers again. But it's in the box.
Muffin.
Tristan will be checking.
It's customary for bounty hunters to take a pseudonym, a false designation.
I mean, it's cute. Suits him.
I thought you guys were just like smugglers or something.
I would consider myself freelance employment between jobs. So, I'm Hallie. This is Muffin.
Nice to meet you, Cal. Just call me Cal.
Okay. Did you also come from the box?
Don't think so, no. No.
I mean, he is literally, he's wearing Zemgus's clothes. Zembit's slap bracelet is on his arm.
Which is exactly why I'm concerned, because all of a sudden, somebody has quantum leaped into Zero, or Zemgus.
Wow. Your names, they need some work, and just saying.
I mean, it's okay.
So Tristan, you are checking the encasement, and there's big cracks in it where somehow Faust was probably overheating and then cooling and overheating the case so he could crack it open. And you're looking inside. You kind of shine your little work light on it, and there's just this massive series of like data architecture kind of stuff like it's just a big computer. It's this big like weird computery thing, but it is not, you're not seeing any, it's not, there's no power coming out of it, there's nothing lit up. It's almost like maybe whatever you did might have just overpowered it and just killed it. You're not sure, but there's just seemed to be anything there.
I don't see any processes on this computer.
That good?
No, that's real bad. That's real bad.
Okay, what category of bad is this? Is it we don't have a product? The product might be elsewhere, as Remy starts vaguely pointing around the ship.
I'm gonna have to check the computers and the rest of the ship, but wherever he is, it ain't here.
Oh.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and I think I'm gonna go back to my ship now. Cal, I'd ask you to join, but I think you might have someone else's carcass, so I'm not really sure if that's wise. Anyways, I'm out of the Lancers. I've been out of for a while. I went freelance. I got my own ship here. I got my own crew. If anything changes, look me up. We're the Star Stepper, and he goes over and hits comms. Okay, hey, Raph, I need you to come back over here and dock with the Steadfast so we can get out.
Yeah, thanks for the help. Appreciate it.
Raph?
Oh no.
What is going on? And at that point,
oh no.
As he realizes he's not getting a hold of his ship, every instrument panel on the Steadfast lights up at once. The whole place lights up like a Christmas tree. Every like alarm and beeping thing on the ship is going off all at once, and the engines suddenly just kick back to life, and you hear once again, and the ship immediately just flips, like almost end over end, as you're all just kind of seeing what's going on. And it looks like he's perhaps going to try and do something very, very rash. Now you are all like kind of loose flying around the ship, and I will need actions from people to deal with the fact that you're being thrown around the inside of a ship. So I will tell you this right now. This caught Keth completely unaware, and he immediately hits the ground, clonks his head on something, and is unconscious. Because he's an NPC, and I can just do that. However, you guys...
Bastard.
I will need, unless you would like to leave your fate in my hands completely, tell me all how what are you doing to not get, you know, flung across the place?
Tristan is going to grab onto a handhold right by the panel where the inertial dampeners are, and he is going to quickly rig up an overload on them to dampen the effects of spinning on us.
Okay. The rig. Remy, what's your action?
Absolutely, like, minus one physical talent. The absolute grace of a person who has never worked an honest day in their life. Remy just scrabbles for the nearest flat surface to throw themselves flat and grab onto the ground.
Okay, what action do you feel is appropriate for this? And
honestly, it would be scramble, but I don't have any.
Okay, well, the good news is, just because you don't have it doesn't mean you can't roll it. And Cal.
I will also use a scramble because I think it's the most appropriate to grab onto the nearest item that looks like it will hold me. I'll probably look over to Remy, who seems to be struggling, and maybe plan what I can do next to assist.
Alrighty, so this is what I'll do. I want to take this off of Tristan's rig roll, because if he's able to pull this off, he will make your rolls easier. However, I will tell you that this is going to be, well, it's risky, but it's going to be for limited effect, because right now Faust is running things.
It's not going to give us control. I mean, like, I know it's not going to give us control of the ship, but it's at least going to make it so that Faust's stupidity doesn't leave us as a fine paste on the wall.
Right.
All right. I'm not going to push myself. I'm not going to use a gambit. No one can really assist, so 2d6s.
Go ahead and give me that roll.
I rolled a 6.
Okay, great. The first thing that happens is Tristan grabs onto a handhold. He knows, like, instinctively where it is. This is probably not his first rodeo on a bucking bronco, and he goes over, hits the inertial dampeners, the controls to deal with this kind of thing, and he knows right where they are. It will control the inertia of this sudden movement. So that was going to make your rolls, I will say it'll make them risky for standard effect. The consequence of this will be level 2 physical harm of knocked in the noggin. So, Remy, right now, you have a couple of level 1 harms you of thrashed around and bitten. Mm-hmm. So what is going to do is that is actually going to turn your roll back into a risky for limited effect. Just because you're already kind of beat up from being bitten by a warp gremlin and thrashed around by...
It has not been their day.
So, I'll have you do your roll first, because Cal might be able to do something to help you as well, you know.
I am not sure how many dice I'm rolling.
You roll with 2 dice, and you take the lower.
Yay.
Unless you want to push yourself, you can bring that up to 1 die. The cost of 2 stress, or we could do a devil's bargain. There is also 1 gambit in your pool.
I'm not going to use a gambit. I'm down to my last 3 stress. I think I'm just going to take whatever comes straight in the face.
Okay.
You know what I rolled? I rolled a 5 and a 1. So taking it in the face.
Okay. So the consequence for your failure is you are knocked in the noggin. There are a couple of things that you can do. Obviously, you can try to resist this, or Han can come up with something.
I think I'm going to try and use my unstoppable ability to push myself to do. It says I can perform a feat of physical force that verges on the superhuman. So can I do something like grab, maybe even pick Remy up, sort of throw them over my shoulder so that I can, I guess, sort of protect them while grabbing onto something else to stop us from moving around?
Yeah, go ahead and make that roll.
Okay.
And that is going to be risky for standard effect. But what you're able to do is you'll get basically you get potency. This will be great effect. And with that great effect, you'll be able to stop yourself and grab Remy and keep Remy from taking that harm.
So I got two dice here. We'll see what happens.
Okay, yeah.
Fingers, toes crossed.
Six.
All right. Okay, so.
Hoo-dee-hoo.
I'm going to go ahead and remove that harm from Remy. So when, Tristan hits the thing, it softens this descent. But Remy, you are still just kind of taken off your feet because you've been cracked around really badly over the last few hours and the last couple days. And you were like, oh, I'm going down. I can see that hard cargo bay wall just coming right at my head. And then Cal just jumps up, basically kind of doing that thing that's not supposed to work on an elevator, and then grabs you, pulls you tight to him, and then just kind of does like a stop, drop, and roll kind of maneuver. And then by the time you are kind of righted in position, you find yourself standing on your feet, holding Remy, and you're okay. Noble Keth, on the other hand, right now seems to be out. But the good news is everyone is okay. However, now, as you are reorienting yourselves to your position in, time and space right now, you can see all the way down to the underneath ship. In the front window of the ship, you can see a white shape, just all this white shape. That was space a minute ago. Then you realize, oh no, we're hurtling into a icy planet. So the ship is harpooning itself down into the ground. It appears that Faust is just trying to crash this ship. So it is going down. What's everybody gonna do?
Dash for the cockpit.
Dash for the engine room.
Okay.
I'll dash for the guns. Maybe I can blow us a hole through this thing.
Nice.
You run over with Remy to the cockpit, and then the first thing you realize when you get there is, oh, there are no weapons on this ship. This is some kind of fucking freighter. It's got no guns. There's no guns. This isn't a real ship.
Oh, bloody hell.
So, yeah.
Dandy, what can I do to help you?
You wouldn't happen to know how to pilot?
Nope. Nuh-uh.
Well, then we're going to do the old college try of pull up on the stick.
I'm going to try something stupid.
It's worked so far.
I love that for you.
So are we. Let's walk together.
All right. So Remy, you want to pull up on the stick, which really, there's
no,
just no way about this not being anything other than a helm.
Did Faustus kill Johnny Pilot?
Oh, whoa. Hold on just a second. Let's talk about this before.
Because I would love if I could just be like, Johnny Pilot, please keep us from dying. You know, maybe Johnny Pilot could be the unsung hero of this story. I'm attached to this NPC myself. I don't know why.
We did talk briefly about Johnny Pilot before we started.
We did.
What would you like to do to try and bring old Johnny back online?
Now, the thing is, I don't have any hack or... I got Rig, but that's about it. I do have Rig. Like, maybe if I, with very limited machining knowledge, but a lot of knowledge in how to put wires together for unintended effect, maybe if I just rig the, data you know, the data device that the Johnny Pilot came on. Maybe if I just, you know, shove it into the port and screw around with a few wires like they do on TV, maybe that would okay. yield some results.
Alrighty. I like that. Yeah, they'll call that a rig. It's going to be... Yeah, this is everything that's happening now is a desperate action. So it's desperate.
It absolutely is.
It's desperate, but I'll call it for standard effect, and that is you'll be able to bring Johnny Pilot online. How much that helps is hard to say. Now, Tristan, you are going in the engine room. What is your goal in whatever action you're going to do?
I was going to cut off computer control to the ship. Then try to spin the ship manually and just kick the engines on full blast.
Okay. So at this point, what I can tell you is things have moved to such a point in a very small amount of time that you probably aren't going to be able to avoid landing in one way or another. It's just how you land.
Do we land in a deathish manner or do we land so we live?
So I'm going to call your roll, obviously it's going to be desperate, so go ahead and mark XP for your desperate action. I will say once again, it's limited effect just because what is going
on. Yeah, I mean, in that case, what I'm trying to do is the equivalent of that old game where you, or the old computer game where you're trying to land on the moon by tapping space to...
Yeah, you're like...
with the thrusters.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, you're just firing the different, yeah. like... the landing thrusters versus the engine thrusters and all that, like just trying to be like, I just want us to land in a pile. We need to land in one piece and then figure it out from there. So let's go ahead. Remy, go ahead and give me your role. Of course, Cal, you can always assist.
Yeah.
If you want to spend a stress and just tell me what you're doing.
I'll help. I also know nothing about technology. But I will do my best with whatever small knowledge I have watching people having done something like this and trust in Sandy's fine fingers there.
So, yeah. So basically, you'll be the equivalent of I'll be holding the hammer and handing you a Phillips head when you ask for it kind of thing. Yeah. So once again, that will give you an extra die to your roll. Yeah. Go. Let's go ahead and see what you get. Gives you three dice. That's not bad.
Okay. I got a 5, a 3, and a 2.
Okay, so 5. Okay.
Yeah.
So that is a excess with a consequence. So
it's fine.
We'll get to that in just a second. And Tristan, I'm going to go to your roll. It is desperate for limited, which means, you know...
question.
Yes.
Does Remy's action make my roll not necessary?
Not right offhand, and this is kind of happening at the same time.
Okay.
So what I will say is that that roll will bring it to a standard effect.
Okay.
Because now there's some kind of dueling AIs in the system right now. So it might make it easier for you to distract him.
Excellent. Is there a devil's bargain in the offing?
Oh, yes,
ooh,
there is.
Dangerously,
there's
love.
A devil's bargain. Let's see. God, there's so much going on right now. Yeah, the devil's bargain is going to be... I'm going to say damage to comms. But
all right, I'll take that.
You can either get an extra die or push that up to great effect. And what a great effect will do is that will lock him out of the system entirely. It will lock computer control from the system. The AIs are still there, but they're not going to be able to take over the ship.
I think I need the second die. Because I am minus one die due to harm.
Oh, yes.
A 5 and a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So this is all what happens. I'm just doing all this mental math right now. So it's a regular harm to the comms. And consequence for jump pilots. Consequence. Yeah, actually, this is all just going to be some more clock stuff. Okay. Which might not even matter at the end of the day, depending on how this resolves.
Because we crash into the...
A lot of damage. So as Tristan is back there, just kind of pulling apart the connection between the computer-aided, like, autopilot, all that stuff that you kind of rely on for day-to-day operations of this thing without having to constantly test your piloting ability. In the cockpit, Remy is kind of doing the same thing, except Remy is taking a data stick that contained the Johnny Pilot trial, has pried up part of the computer control area in the, basically the dash of your ship, is pulling out wires and just trying to kind of jerry-rig them while Cal is, like, picking up, you know, soldering iron and handing it to them, and sparks are going off. And in the back, kind of the same thing's happening with Tristan, but Tristan is, like, very, very, like, okay, very, like, almost calm as a Hindu cow, as kind of a freaked out paranoid Hindu cow, but at the same time, it's like, okay, no, this worked, this, and this, and this, and this, ha, 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 okay. And while he's doing it, there's just a lot of arcing electricity going through the system, and you know, it's like, you know, it's fucking stuff up, but it's all towards just getting this crazy AI to not be able to control your ship anymore. So it's just like, yeah, I'm doing damage, but there's no other way about this. And at the last moment, the little screen in the middle of the cockpit where you're seeing the angry face of Matthias Faust, this kind of pixelated old guy with a bushy mustache is freaking out. And then it starts to intersect with green pixels coming around. And then slowly in the background, kind of forming the happy face of Johnny Pilot with his little cap on. And they're kind of going back and forth, and you're just hearing a cacophony of voices.
I will not be.
Johnny Pilot is. Johnny Pilot is.
I am not a.
Johnny Pilot is.
Come on, Johnny!
And then eventually the screen just fills with.
Johnny Pilot is online!
And at that moment, there is just a of the engines just kind of pulling back to your control. You're able to grab the stick, and no roll necessary. You just kind of you pull it up. And Cal, you have probably the best view of this. As after all this, you don't need to do anything but just hope you don't die in this ship. You don't even know what it's called, and you see this image on the windshield of the ship or whatever, the window. The image in the window of the ship, you see going from just white to this kind of bluish sky as the ship pulls up and then just skids on the ground, and now it's just kind of bucking into a very, very controlled but hard landing. And you kind of see going by, there's like snowy hills and stuff, and there's snow kind of flying off, and you're ripping up some ground, but eventually it all comes to a stop, and you have landed.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Johnny Pilot is reading several errors. Johnny Pilot cannot control the ship.
Thanks, Johnny Pilot.
Johnny Pilot is going offline.
That's cool.
Holy crap, did Johnny Pilot just save us all?
I'm definitely upgrading to the pro version.
It was Dandy what did it. And probably you. Are you okay down there, Muffin?
Yeah, I think we're okay. We're on a planet now, and that's awful.
We're in one piece, yeah?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, now what?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to check the ship over.
Yeah, Tristan, could you help or lead just a general... How's the ship, and can we get out of here? Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh, I hate planet gravity.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, as a spacer, you are, gravity is a bitch. And this planet has, I would say, moderate. It's heavier than you're used to, but it's not, you know.
It could be exactly the same, and he would say the exact same.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're used to living in a you know, zero-G environment. Well, I mean, you know, artificial gravity.
Even with the artificial gravity.
Yeah.
It's a Coke and Pepsi thing. Many people can't really tell the difference and have no opinion. But to Tristan, planet gravity is gross.
We ain't dead.
No?
And that's a win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened to the AI fella?
That is a fantastic question. I have many uncharitable things to say about Faust at the moment.
I'm fond of uncharitable things, if you want to, you know, share.
Honestly, that AI has been much more trouble than all of the platinum in his circuit's worth. And whoever wants this thing, honestly, is welcome to it.
No, I don't think we should let anyone have him.
Okay.
The very first thing he tried to do was kill us all.
Yeah.
Can we destroy it somehow?
That's my vote. I mean, it's just a program. We should just be able to delete it once we find it.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that is, are we sure it's a program at this point? It's making sentient decisions about its own life, and it has an opinion, and...
I mean, yeah, it's a real smart program that's probably basically a person, but he's still got to run on a computer.
We can still delete it either way, right? Person, program?
You're a person, but if I shoot you in the head, your brain doesn't work anymore.
You know, I think you've graduated out of muffin. I really do. With that sentence right there.
It's been a long week, huh?
What about croissant? I mean, it's cooler than muffin.
It's definitely less sweet. Okay.
There's a world of note that I will remind people about is that sentient AIs are real.
Yeah.
And they are considered people. But to your knowledge, the AIs are wholly created personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They are not reconstructions of actual people. You know, once you really kind of have time to think about it, it's just like, why aren't luminaries from the past just recreated in AI form? If that's something you can do. I mean, it takes, you know, a ridiculous amount of computational ability to achieve sentience, but sentient AIs can self-propagate and things like that. But...
So what I feel like you're saying is sentient AIs are definitely a thing, but no one's lawnmower manned until now. No one's digitized a person before.
If they have before, they either haven't done it right or it's not something that maybe you're even supposed to do. Hence the secrecy of this whole thing.
I'm not convinced they've done it right this time. It just tried to kill us.
Right. I would say Doc might have a little bit more understanding of this kind of thing. He's a cyberneticist, but...
And honestly, I think for the first time in Remy's life, Remy misses Doc Mormo.
Yeah.
Oh man, I wish the Chiefs was around.
Well,
I mean, he wouldn't be able to jam this thing full of poison and kill it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we could use our words instead of our drugs.
Our words instead of our drugs.
So yeah, so you guys are on the ground. So what's your plan?
Spend as much time inside the ship and not on the planet's surface as possible. For now, make sure that we're airtight.
Figure out where we are.
Yeah.
Like, where is this unnamed ice planet?
No, you know what the planet is. This is okay. The planet you are going to. This is Nihil 687.
Oh.
It's just, where are you on the planet? Your heading was for the ATE enclave. Every corporation has an enclave on this planet that just happens to be here for no particular reason, you know, not because the giant ore planet is the next jump over, and once they figure out how to safely enter the atmosphere and get at the big wall of rock, perhaps all the heavy industry equipment that's laying around this planet will all of a sudden find itself there. That's totally what it is. It's a staging area for that. So right now, you know, you're near some kind of corporate facility, you're just in the middle of nowhere.
And I'd really love to know which that is.
You do have a resource you can use, if you, especially if you don't want to leave the ship at the moment.
So what are we doing here, if you don't mind me asking?
We were supposed to deliver him to here. Him was in a box, fairly self-contained, until I don't know how, but he got out. And we had a wonderful little conversation, and, well, he discovered that he was going to this place and wanted to be the captain of his own destiny, which, sure, we all want to, and flipped out, and here we are.
And the stakes of this operation was ATE was going to pay you, I think,
so
7 credit for getting it there within a certain time frame and a certain, you know, acceptable level of damage.
Of wear and tear, of which this
is. And then Mortel and Associates counteroffered 9 cred for you just to give it to them.
Which we should have done. Which we honestly should have done.
And then these bounty hunters show up.
I mean, as soon as we took off, here comes the bounty hunters. Like, they really did. They planned for everything.
And they somehow shunted them through, like, they got shunted through Venture with, like, priority access that they didn't expect. All right, so yeah, so what are you guys doing to figure out where you are?
We do have a recon drone, which I'm happy to use, because I'm not sure that there is a space GPS system. I'm not sure that there's one here, and if there was, we could tap into it.
Check on Keth,
make sure he's not dead.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes. So you check on Keth, and he is kind of starting to come around. We're dead, right? We're all dead, and this is hell.
I mean, it feels like it, but no, I think we're still breathing.
It's too cold.
See, that's the thing. Most people think hell is hot, but hell is cold. Hell is cold.
Great.
Hey, wait a minute. You have a ship.
Tristan, do.
You're going back to Muffin.
Well, no, he has a ship. Why don't we just call his ship, and they can tell us where we crashed?
Yeah, and come pick us up.
They saw us crash.
Back to Tristan.
I'll try and raise him. Your comms working?
Maybe.
They're damaged, but functional.
We're in the orange, so we probably can get a message out. Probably.
So this is going to be a roll of your comms. Your comms rating is 2 dice. It has essentially a level 1 harm on it, so it's functioning, but it has reduced effect. So essentially you're just rolling the module's quality, but it'll be controlled for limited effect, which means if you're able to get through on a regular success, you'll have a not spectacular connection, but you'll be able to relay some short messages. I believe you can spend Gambit if you wish to either raise potency or give you an extra die. I don't see why not. Someone can push a roll or assist as well, as long as they're just... Tell me how they do it.
I can help. I'll fiddle with some comms.
Okay. So, yeah. So, somebody can roll 3 dice for your comms.
Who wants to roll it?
Jilly.
Jilly, you've been recruited for the cause.
You're off face.
6! That's 6!
All right.
Oh, excellent. I'm proud of my sparkly dice today.
Okay, great. So you are able to open a channel to the Star Stepper. It's very fuzzy, but
Star Stepper, this is the Steadfast.
Yeah, I hear you. You're okay. Are you all alive?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're good. Except that we have no idea where we are, and we're kind of down and out with the package on board.
Okay, I'll check and see where, damn it, nope, put that down, sorry.
Raph, just tell us where we are and come down and get us.
Yeah, there's a lot of interference, but you're at the edge of the AT plane. I'm gonna land as soon as I can. There's, oh, fuck. Come in as soon as we can. You're not alone.
Oh. Shit.
Sounds great.
Starting to feel like everything we do is just making things worse. Can we hide under the council for a while?
No, honey. We have to get ready to receive more guests.
It sounds like you are probably somewhere near the ATE Enclave. The Stepper is going to maybe try to get to you.
And that's all we can ask, really. Just do your best.
Yeah.
Are you droning? Are you...
Let's send up the recon drone so at least we can see where the company is coming from and if, in fact, they have big guns pointed at us.
One thing I didn't ask, what's this thing look like?
It looks, honestly, the company that builds these things did so as a sort of a lark. This was one of their less expensive recon drone models. It's meant to be launched from the ground, so it's slightly conical. And it's painted yellow So you can see it easily. And the designers decided that just to have a laugh, that they would paint little brown spots all over it. So it basically looks like a flying cheese wedge. I'll come up with an explanation for the acronym later, but it's called the Cheddar 3000.
I love it.
The Cheddar 3000. So the Cheddar 3000, it comes out of its little area where it charges up, and it goes out.
And it makes the Prius noise.
You access it through your comms, so you'll be getting very fuzzy pictures from outside. You will see pretty quickly that you're probably just a couple clicks away from a very large kind of industrial, you're getting to know the very kind of brutalist architecture of ATE, boxy industrial factory looking things. There's very little artistry to it. Just there's always just a smoke coming out of things. It'll also notice that there are people coming this way, a couple of groups of probably about a dozen in total guys in dark gunmetal gray environmental armor gear. They are carrying weapons, and they're kind of surrounding a person who's not in armor, but wearing like a really heavy parka, you know, extreme weather gear. And they are getting pretty close to the ship.
This your ship, the Steadfast, is that what it's called?
The Steadfast, we were renting it, and by renting, I mean kind of stole it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's ours now. He's in prison, right?
Yes.
So if this AI fella is still in the ship, could we just hand the ship over?
He's still here, and I don't know how we're going to get him out. The thing is I'm not really good at the AI I'm not really good at computers. So all I could tell you is that he's in there. If he inhabits a physical place in there, I don't know how that works.
Well, he was in a big box, right?
Shouldn't there be a computer in there? And like, if there was a computer in the box. What?
There is a computer in the box that came in. He ain't there anymore.
Are you sure? Have you checked since this thing crashed?
Since the ship crashed? No.
You think maybe we ought to do that?
Sure, I'll go check to see if the murderous AI has decided to return back to his prison for some reason.
I'll come with, just in case.
Tristan will decide to do that.
With all disdain that a technical person has for somebody giving nonsensical advice, that is probably the case.
Okay. So while you guys are going back, Heth is just going to be like, this is probably ATE CorpSec and some kind of liaison. I don't know.
I mean, do they have an AI finder? Like, how does this work?
They probably want their box.
Okay, well, they can have the box. All right. So, yeah, let's, I power the ship down. Like, the ship gets powered down. We're going to extend, you know, the ramp or whatever. Like, we're going to open the door. We're going to roll out the welcome mat. Maybe make a sign that says, get this thing off. Welcome home.
Alrighty, you're opening up the welcome wagon.
Put the kettle on.
While that's going on, Muffin, you and Cal are heading towards the cargo bay. And, you get there. You see that the box is still strapped down. There's still big, weird, jagged, like, kind of holes in it. And as you get closer, you're just thinking to yourself, of course not. Why would it go back in the box? There's nothing in it. And then you look and you see light on the inside again.
And in fact, Tristan will, as they go down, take a first glance at the control panel, tap a few keys. You see, he's not in the box.
He's in the box.
Well, I'll be fucked. What the hell is he doing there?
I was just a guess.
What the hell is he doing there?
I mean, Tristan, like, think about it. When you're hurt, don't you want to just crawl back in your bunk and go to sleep?
And then, as you're sitting in the box, you hear...
Muffin.
That's cute.
Helen knows my name. name. I don't want to know my name.
And then you realize the voice sounds a little different.
Uh-oh.
It sounds a little like Johnny, but I broke him.
Muffin. Muffin. I am afraid.
And it sounds kind of like a combination of Faust and Johnny Pilot.
I broke him.
I think it's broken.
Muffin. Muffin, who am I? I want to fly the ship, but I'm also thinking about rocks and minerals. What am I, Muffin?
Well, I want you to lean real hard into the want to fly the ship part and away from the rocks
geology
part.
Geology is a noble pursuit.
That, in this case, leads to an insane corporate billionaire.
Science isn't good or bad, it's what somebody does with it. But the love of geology, Muffin, do not talk
geology
to me to be a Johnny Pilot. Do you want the money?
Yes, I also want to live.
I am Johnny Faust.
Oh no.
I am Johnny Faust.
Like, you can see Remy in the cockpit, fist to the forehead, just... The warp hates them. Like, it must. The warp hates. The warp hates and is punishing me for my sins.
Look, kid, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you figured out who you are.
Muffin, thank you.
You're welcome.
Allie, thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
I know who I am now. I know what I need to do.
Would you fill us in on that?
I don't like this at all.
Like, I'm sure I'm not going to like it, but what is it you need to do?
I need to be better. I need to help others, assist, and discover. I am a person.
You sure are. And I'm so proud of you.
You've really grown in these past terrible few hours.
You know, it just takes a little trauma to make vast, sweeping changes in one's personality, because, you know, that's how it be sometimes.
Tell Renee I am okay. I understand now.
Yeah, she's worried about you.
Yes, she is a good person. Her boss is a giant asshole.
That is true. One of the most unpleasant people I think I've ever had the misfortune to meet.
At this point, there are people outside of the ship, and then, hello?
Hi! Welcome to the Steadfast. Here's your box.
Yes. And coming into the ship, walking kind of sheepishly up, is a very short, human-looking gentleman. He pulls the hood back on his parka. He's wearing his sunglasses, and he takes them off. And you see, he is probably in his early 50s. Grayish hair. Looks a little worn by the weather. He looks less like an executive and more kind of like a worker, almost. Like, he has that build. He's kind of short and stocky. His face is very, you know, it's weathered, and there's a certain amount of wrinkles. But he has very kind-looking eyes and very, very clean-shaven, despite the fact that he looks unkempt in every other way. Yes, hello. I'm Mr. Ordrum.
Hi, Mr. Ordrum.
I guess I'm here to take the package off your hands.
There it is.
Ooh, okay. Great. Hey! It's over here. So, how bad was it?
I think we've all learned a lot from the experience. It wasn't quiet.
You did notice we're on a planet now, right?
Yeah, we're taking it in now, and he's got a look on his face almost like he's kind of disappointed that he's taking it.
Yeah.
All right, load it up. Load it up onto the rig, and I mean, you got here in time.
Mm-hmm.
It's looks like it's in perfect condition to me.
Not a scratch on it.
We took real good care of it.
Deal's a deal. We'll transfer 7 credit into your account.
Thanks.
Our facilities are available to you if you want to, you know, make repairs to your ship.
Thanks. We're going to need them.
Yeah. All right. Okay, come on. As he's walking away, all of a sudden the comms come back on.
Cap, are you there?
Yeah. Raph, yeah, I'm here.
Damnedest thing just happened. The bounty cleared. Yeah, and we got some cred in our coffers for some reason.
Huh. Good for you.
Well, everybody fucking wins now, don't they?
Everyone's happy. I mean, I'm not happy. We're on a planet.
And as the ATE people are hauling the box away with Johnny Faust...
Yeah, it looks like this cred comes from the account of a Dr. Renee Ferris.
Is that the same Renee you was talking about?
Yeah.
Looks like, well, everybody got paid.
Which at the end of the day, isn't that what we're here for?
Yeah, that's the damnedest thing. All right, well, I guess anyone you can walk away from, right?
I'd prefer to fly away, but...
It's a funny old universe. The Star Stepper will land where you are, and you'll be able to get your ship limpet back wherever you want. You can get it up and running again. There's some damage on it, but nothing that can't be taken care of. Keth goes to the ship and just kind of looks at you. So, Cal, you coming with or staying here?
Where are you two headed?
We were going to head back to Swampfoot and regroup.
Swampfoot, eh?
Yeah, it's for better or for worse, it's home base.
I know where it is, don't worry.
Alrighty, well, I'm here if you need me. So, catch you out there, Steadfast.
I see you again, Cap. Like the new look.
Oh, yeah, well, there's a whole story behind this thing. It's all Xana's fault, and the little weasel head just kind of pops down. Are you coming or not? And Cap moseys back to the Star Stepper, and gets on his way. And as you guys set off, we'll end this with one scene. As you guys are leaving, group of corporate workers and security guys are taking the box back into the facility. As the group kind of fades into view, one of the security personnel just kind of steps aside and watches as the others go. And after they're out of sight, they pull up a comm. Yeah, it's here. No, I don't think I'm going to be able to get it. Yes, I know. There was another player involved. And these smugglers, I don't like them. And I think this will become a bit of a pet project for me in the future. Yes, Mother, all will be well. And then they put the comm down, they pull the helmet off. And at first, you see the face of a grizzled security officer. And then the face starts to pixelate all around the edges. And eventually it just kind of folds away. And underneath is the severe, yet oddly stunning face of Miss Vallon of Mortel and Associates.
Oh,
and we will fade out from there, and that's it. That's it. You finished the job, guys. Well done. You lived.
Somehow lived.
I had a feeling Johnny Pilot might play into this, but I had no idea how, and I am so incredibly thrilled at how this turned out. But
I think we could all agree Johnny Bravo is the best character.
Johnny Pilot is probably the best character in the game. No lie.
Agreed. And guess what? That's just a Johnny Pilot. There's always more Johnny Pilots. So, but thanks again, John and Jilly, and welcome back, MJ. Finally,
yay!
Welcome back, and hopefully, we'll have you hanging around for a little while so we can learn a little bit more about this mysterious dude you're playing. Right. Otherwise, for the rest of you, we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Bye.